Thanks for joining us for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with Luann Crane, and our host, as always, is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson.
And Ryan, for these past 2 days, we've heard a conversation that your dad and I had with two distinguished board-certified OBGYNs, Dr. Joe McElhaney and Dr. Frieda McKissick-Bush. These are two friends of your father's who truly care about protecting young people, especially girls, from the lies spread about the safety of casual sexual activity.
Luann, I was bummed to not be here for these guests, but I've been taking notes and I'm going to continue that today because there are few topics that parents are more interested in than that of encouraging their children to make good choices, especially when it comes to protecting their sexuality.
Well, Ryan, it'd be good to point out for listeners who missed the first 2 days that they can catch up online at drjamesdobson.org.
Like I did.
Good for you. We've heard a lot of information that will no doubt save lives, so this is important material. Before we listen in on our final time with them today, a little more about our guests. Dr. McElhaney spent nearly 30 years in private practice before starting the Medical Institute, which is a nonprofit medical and educational research organization that focuses on sexual health.
And Dr. McKissick-Bush is the president of that organization, and she also still sees patients at her practice in Mississippi. Together, these two doctors have written the book that we are discussing today. It's called Girls Uncovered, New Research on What America's Sexual Culture Does to Young Women.
And as parents can probably guess by now, Ryan, their little children really don't need to be listening in on what we will be covering today. Let's rejoin the exchange now as our host, Dr. James Dobson, shares something he found particularly interesting while he was writing his own book, Bringing Up Girls. So here he is now on this Family Talk broadcast.
One of the pieces of research that I saw repeatedly, the study was done on many occasions, that depression is directly related to this sexual behavior as well. It's not just physical disease. Those who are sleeping around, they have a disdain toward themselves.
I was going to add that when they controlled for depression with other causes of depression, that there was a higher rate of depression and anxiety among sexually active girls than girls who were not sexually active.
Yeah.
And so there is a distinct difference.
So it's related to suicide, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's a researcher at Notre Dame and there's a researcher at the University of Texas, both of whom have shown that relationship between sexual involvement and depression. Mm-hmm. And depression is rampant among college kids. And so we know that a lot of the depression college kids are having is related to their sexual involvement. About 40% of college kids have felt so depressed in the past year that they felt like they couldn't go on. About 50% of college kids at some time in the past year felt so depressed they felt like it was hopeless. About 10 or 12% have thought about suicide, and about 1 or 2% have attempted suicide. And so we know a lot of that is related to their sexual involvement. Mm-hmm. And you think about a kid who's depressed, then taking the MCAT, the test for going to medical school, or the test for going into law school, and how competitive all that is, and how this depression can affect their performance on those. And they never get into law school or are able to accomplish what they wanted to because their sexual involvement caused depression. I mean, it's really a downhill.
It touches every dimension of life, doesn't it?
It does.
And one of the things I do want the listeners to understand is in the book, we don't just give statistics that are doom and gloom, but we also give them hope. And we give information specifically what parents can do, what our society can do, and what the girls themselves can do in order to increase their opportunities for reaching their goals and their dreams. And there's hope in this book as well.
And that's a very good point, Dr. Bush, because we're speaking to someone right now, either a parent or a young woman, who has said, I've listened to you, you've laid out the case pretty well. I've already blown it. Is it too late for me?
No, it is not too late. There's always a new day. Every 24 hours, we're given an opportunity to start over. And we can help the young ladies to say, with a different decision, you can set in place those behaviors that will help you to reach that. Mm-hmm. It starts with a decision. It starts with a plan, even if you have to write out yourself a contract. And just as the brain can be retrained and rewired, so can your behavior. You initiate an action or thought. You put a behavior to support that action or thought, and you reinforce it. So you now have not only a new attitude, but you have a new behavior, and you do feel better about yourself when you do that. Mm. We talk to the young ladies about things that they can do, and one of the things is establishing behaviors that you will and you will not do. And even if you have to get an accountability partner, which can be a parent, but can be another caring adult, then you can establish that different behavior and get accurate information that you can say, I heard what the media said, but I've got this information from the Medical Institute for Sexual Health. I've got this information that I know will help me to be informed about what the real risks are. And part of the decision is don't let yourself try to please the young man more than you are wanting to control your future. If he is trying to pressure you into doing something for his satisfaction and not considering you, that perhaps is not someone that you want to be with. So defining the type of partner that you are wanting to be with long term and evaluating each young man that approaches you with that behavior and to determine, no, I don't think I'll go there. Mm. Put yourself in the driver's seat as far as making decisions about what you will do and make sure you're responsible for protecting yourself, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. And you avoid those situations that will put you in a place where you even have to say no. There are just some places you won't go.
Yeah. Dr. Bush, let's suppose that there's an 18-year-old girl in your office, and she comes in, and you're trying to counsel her and give her a lot of information very quickly. And she just says, Doctor, you don't understand. I love this guy. I want to spend my whole life with him. And I want to give myself to him, and you are going to try to warn her that those feelings might be temporary and probably are, and that she had better be careful about the physical contact, the intimacy that she has with this guy. Are you able to bring along a kid who is, you know, has a lot of oxytocin going on?
Well, it sounds like they've already been having some sexual foreplay that is going on. And one of the first things I try to do when I have this opportunity is find out what are your dreams and your goals for yourself. And then let's talk about what if and how that behavior plays into you reaching your goals and your dreams. And having the conversation with the young man, what are his dreams and his goals, and how do they line up? Now, I know that seems a little far-fetched, but it's amazing how the young ladies will play that with you. Play it forward, I think, is what they say. And then once you see what their goal or their destination is, then you start working backwards as to how this behavior will affect that. And setting up boundaries. Young lady, what do you think the behavior should be or should not be that will get you the result that you want? And playing with her, often writing down a contract as to what she will do and what she won't do. And I think it's important for them to understand, well, if you go this way, have you considered sexually transmitted infections? Have you considered pregnancy? Quick story, a young lady, 21 years old, in college, had become sexually active with multiple partners. She did not like taking birth control pills every day because it was hard for her to remember. She did not like using the condom, or the partner didn't like the condom because she didn't like the way it felt. And so with each partner, she would use Plan B, not recognizing what she was doing to herself hormonally or what she was doing to her body in general. So when you are talking with the young lady who has not started sexual activity, you can give her some of these examples as well. But mainly you're saying to her, what is it that you want for your life? And how can you be in the driver's seat, more or less, and establish that? Include the young man in the conversation, because often he's hormonal and he's not really aware of the consequences because the media doesn't talk about it, haven't had the conversation with their parents. And so you are giving them information to arm them and give them power to make decisions about their lives for the future. It is amazing how actively the young people will participate when you have it conversation.
Well, one of the things that I wish every young woman knew is that the notion that power in a relationship with a guy can only be had by giving him what he wants sexually.
That's a lie.
It is a lie, and yet girls believe it. And what happens is that he walks away having gotten what he wants, and she is left in a lurch. He frequently is not interested in her anymore. And so instead of gaining power, she loses power in
Absolutely.
The relationship.
And that's part of the lie, too, about cohabitation being smart. It is certainly not something that you want to do. Not only are we talking about contraceptive failures, but also your opportunities for marrying are lessened. And if you do marry, studies show that you're more likely to get divorced, so it's not going to be a long-term relationship.
And that your marriage is more likely to be troubled, unhappy, and with really a lot of pain if you've cohabited before you got married.
There's some very interesting good news in this book, too. Let's talk a little bit about it. One of them is an absolutely wonderful hormone, a powerful hormone called oxytocin. And I would like you all to talk about that.
Oxytocin is a phenomenal hormone. Ladies who've had a pregnancy and been in the hospital and needed to have something to make their contractions stronger have been given oxytocin to make their contractions stronger. Women who breastfeed their babies, it's oxytocin that makes that milk letdown happen. But oxytocin does a bunch of other things that are just phenomenal. One is that when two people are skin to skin, and that can be the mother and the baby, the oxytocin causes them to emotionally bond with each other. So I often say that the women will die for that baby, not just because it's cute, but because they've been holding that baby and loving that baby, and their oxytocin has been pouring out, and they are bonded to that baby. Well, the same thing happens with a man and a woman. When they are close with each other, hugging each other, having sex with each other, the oxytocin just pours out in that woman's body and brain, and it bonds her to that guy. And Frieda was
that
saying this.
That scares every father in the nation.
Matter of fact, there's a doctor at UC San Francisco that did some research on it, a neuropsychiatrist. And in her book about oxytocin, she says, in our studies, we found that if a woman hugged a man for more than 20 seconds, she trusted him. So oxytocin actually increased trust in a man. So she says in that book, if you don't want to trust a guy, don't be hugging him that long.
I can tell you, I spent some time with my grandchildren this weekend at a family reunion in Arkansas, and our 20-year-old had an I gave gifted them with the book, and I asked her, name me something that you got out of this book that was a real aha for you. And she says, well, the biggest thing was that the same hormone that a mother has that attaches her to her child is the same one that attaches you to the guy that you may have relationships with. She said, I had no idea. So it's going to make me be careful who I touch or hug or be with, and I'm going to wait for marriage. Now, you know that did Grandma real good.
Well, Dr. Dobbs, you, as you introduced this whole topic, you said something wonderful, and you're absolutely right. And Frieda, Dr. Bush, you talked about this earlier, and that is that that there's something beautiful about the way God has made us, and oxytocin is one of those incredible things that if a man and a woman marry each other, oxytocin bonds them together in that relationship. As they then are sexually involved and then do get pregnant, then the oxytocin helps hold them together as a husband and wife for years for the benefit of raising that child with a father and a mother.
But it can be abused, too.
Absolutely.
If a person has multiple sexual partners, they begin to lose the power of oxytocin to bond them with a particular person.
That's right. And apparently that is one of the problems when people have multiple partners, that they have the oxytocin bond and they break it. Then they go with another guy and they break that. And that pattern actually then will make the oxytocin ineffective in holding them together later on than when they do get married.
And I want to throw in another hormone that affects that, and that is the dopamine, which gives you the reward for the sexual behavior. But when you have multiple partners, after a while, you are chasing the high of the dopamine. And so you can become addicted to sex without being concerned about the person with whom you're having sex.
Mm. Oh, my. Yeah, you know, I wrote in my book an illustration that I read someplace that really interested me. There was a woman who was giving birth to a baby. And as the baby was about to be born, she was obviously flooded with oxytocin. And she looked over in the corner of the room, and there was a nurse who was standing there just leaning against the doorframe. And she felt such an attraction, not sexual, an emotional attraction to that nurse, and just felt so loved by that person and so supported by that person it was all hormones that were going on. So what was bonding her to her baby also bonded her to a stranger in the room.
Right.
And that is a great example. It felt so real to her, and yet she had no earthly idea that was a result of a chemical in her body and her brain that was doing that. And if we could just get across to young women that these hormones are there, they're dramatic and dynamic. And if she starts playing around with these hormones by becoming real physical and even sexually involved, that it's like a fire that she's set. In fact, there's one study that shows if a girl has had sex, and often they do with someone they think they're in love with as an adolescent, within 1 year, 75% of them will have had sex with just some other guy that's not necessarily even a romantic interest. So,
because of the hormonal influence.
The hormonal influence, and probably a breakdown in a barrier, but they're playing with fire when they get involved. And so the best thing clearly is that they just not become involved and set these boundaries that Frieda was talking about a while ago.
Yeah, one more comment about oxytocin. My wife, Shirley, has been a fantastic mother. I mean, she is just a wonderful mother and has been from the beginning. But when she was pregnant, she would say to me, "How do I know I'm going to love this baby? I don't even know him or her. I don't know what sex the child is. I know nothing about that child. How do I know how I'm going to react to this baby?" And I said, "I think the Lord's taking care of that." I didn't know about oxytocin, but I knew that there was a mechanism. And, of course, the moment that baby was laid in her arms when Danae was born, she was on fire for that baby.
So, have we seen that, Frieda? With our moms after we've delivered those babies and see them plopped up on the mama's belly and breastfeeding, it's a phenomenal thing to watch that bonding.
Did you feel that way?
Absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh,
absolutely.
It changes a woman's life. Mm-hmm. It really does. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a right way and a wrong way to use these powerful forces. We are sexual creatures. We're made this way.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good. But it is designed to function in a certain way. And if you abuse it and chase it just as a form of recreation, there are consequences that the Scripture talks about.
It's destructive. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the different gifts God's given us, like an appetite for food or the ability to sleep or even the ability to worship, all of these things, we can distort them and destroy our lives. Mm. The truth is that the Medical Institute is a scientific organization, And our focus has been really be honest about science as much as we can, but we have never found one single thing that conflicts with what Scripture says
Isn't
about sexual
amazing?
Behavior.
I thank the Lord for you and other godly physicians who are out there doing what you can to get this message across to young people who are getting such misinformation from other sources. And, you know, I worry, too, about all the kids who don't have fathers. And girls desperately need their dads as the first male representative to put his arm around her, to love her, to kiss her, and to teach her what it means to fall in love, to demonstrate that with his own wife and model it for her. And without that, you got an uphill climb, don't you?
Yeah. And I would encourage modeling that behavior for both the mom and the dad.
Yeah.
Because it's important for them to see what it is that you're wanting them to do.
Doctor, we began this program, if I may, by talking about how knowledge is power. And this whole time, I've just been drawn back to that classic proverb, Proverbs 5, where it's talking about the young man going down the road to adultery. And I've just been reminded of this, if I can just read verses 11 through 13. He says, "At the end of your life, you will groan. When your flesh and body are spent, you will say, 'How I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors, and I was soon in serious trouble.'" And we see this reflection at the end of life. What we're wanting to do today is speak to that person who is at the beginning and can make those changes so that they are not in this situation later on. You all have provided some amazing instruction and correction, and it's our prayer that people will take a hold of that.
One of the reviews of this book that I read talked about they suspected this book was written to Christians, and it was more of the same preaching to the choir. And I reflected on that, and my thought was, you know, even the choir has to have rehearsal. It's not a Christian book, but it is definitely based, as we said earlier, on the Word of God. Science supports it because God also created science. Mm.
I hate that phrase, "you're just talking to the choir," because church people need information as much as other people do, and they get into many of the same problems.
They really do. You did introduce something a minute ago in your scenario about the young woman who was in love with a guy. And that young woman's fortunate that she would have talked to Dr. Bush, because Dr. Bush would give her accurate information, good guidance away from being sexually involved, and the benefits of sexual abstinence until marriage. Many young women and many parents will take their children to doctors who do not have that perspective, who honestly do not know the data about the failure of condoms, the failure of contraceptives. And they'll actually say, well, you can use contraceptives if you do decide to become sexually involved, and you can be safe that way. I would strongly encourage any parent who takes their child to a doctor who doesn't back up their philosophy about sexual abstinence until marriage to change doctors and to take their child as someone who will support their values about sexual behavior.
Luann, I'll add a hearty amen to yours to that statement. As we close out this Family Talk broadcast with our guests, Dr. Freda McKissick-Bush and Dr. Joe McElhaney, what wisdom my dad and they brought to parents today, and there's even more contained in their book, Girls Uncovered, and also my dad's book, Bringing Up Girls. Luann, I'm telling you, all parents with young women in their homes really ought to have a copy of both of these books on their shelves.
And we are here to help, Ryan. Both of those are available right here at Family Talk. I would encourage listeners to ask about them when they give us a call at 877-732-6825 or even online, drjamesdobson.org. While you're online, you can find an article written by culture commentator and Family Talk board member Rebecca Hagelin. This is amazing, Ryan. She wrote about how our tax dollars are being used to teach young people that sexting, yes, sexting can be good for their sexual health.
Oh, Luann, it's so sad and it just boggles the mind. But parents need to know about this.
That's right.
Again, learn more at drjamesdobson.org. And you know, this article is a great example of how Family Talk is committed to to equipping parents to raise safe, healthy children who ultimately follow the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I want to invite those of you listening to partner with us in this work.
Again, you can find information or donate to our work at drjamesdobson.org or by calling, one last time, 877-732-6825. Husbands, write that down.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us by downloading the new Family Talk mobile app. You can not only use the app to hear our broadcast 24 hours a day, but you can view video commentaries or get answers to your family-related questions with our Solid Answers tool. They're all free and available on Android, iPhone, and iPad devices. I hope you'll visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.